Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 35. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 35. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 35 reads this way. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, once again thanking you for the privilege to assemble together in your house, Lord, as your people. And then, Lord, once again being reminded where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence this evening. We do ask for the filling and blessing of the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds, and, Lord, that you might guide us into your truths, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that, Lord, we might be drawn closer to you, strengthened in the faith that you've already given to us, and, Lord, that we might truly be the light of the world that you've called us to be to tell others about you. Bless, Lord, your people here at Northwood, all your churches, in fact, tonight, and allow us, Lord, to be used for your honor and glory and to enjoy the salvation that you've given to us and to tell others about the great gift you've provided. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise again. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is, "Who Shall Separate Us from the Love of Christ?" Isn't that good? Nobody can separate us from the love of Christ. Or we can also call this an encouraging word for the new year, 2025. Can you believe that? 2025. It's hard to believe that we're out in the 1900s, right? You say, "Oh, Brother George, you're telling how old you are." Well, my younger days were in the 70s and the 80s. And that stuff was space age stuff. You know, you're never going to make it to 2025. And look, we're here already. And we thank the Lord for that. And so God has privileged us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to enjoy all of the promises. He wants us to enjoy those promises for many reasons. First of all, because he loves us. That's the primary reason, that we might understand the love of God that he's given to us. Listen, the whole work of redemption is the love of God. He saw that we could not help ourselves. He saw that in ourselves we were unable to correct ourselves, to fix ourselves. So he was willing, because of his love for us, to pay the price. Isn't that amazing? Listen, God did that for us. The Bible says, while we were yet at enmity, or really his enemies. You ever stop to think about that? So I don't think sometimes people really comprehend the gist of all of that. And I would sometimes illustrate it like this and try to help moms really get this. You know, I would talk to some young mothers and that were lost and trying to tell them about the love of God that they didn't really quite grasp and understand. And I said, "You know, do you have a best friend that you grew up with?" And many times they'll say, "Oh yeah." And I'll say, "Can you give me their name?" And they'll they'll give me their name. And then I'll say, "Suppose your friend Sarah," just saying a name, Sarah, "was in jail and you loved her, and you were able to go to the judge and talk to the judge about Sarah being in jail, and you were asking the judge, is there anything I can do to get Sarah out of prison?" And the judge said, nope. And you would say, "I love Sarah so much, I would sell everything I have and buy her way out." And the judge says, "Nope, but I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take in exchange your child for the freedom of your friend Sarah." And if I said that, and I did have said that many times, they would start going like this. "No way. No way. I'm not going." I said, "But let's just say that you loved your friend Sarah, that you were willing to exchange your daughter for her freedom. And then not only your daughter, but you would have to allow her execution." Does this ring a bell? God did that for us, right? And as soon as you equate that, God gave us his son to take our place that we might be given his righteousness. We can't fix ours. Can't fix it. But God is wanting to give it to us, and he paid the price that we might receive it. And right away, boy, they get a new perspective on what God has done. See, that is the only faith
if you will. The only faith that is the truth that talks about God doing something for us, helping us who can't do anything for ourselves to bring righteousness before the throne of God. There's nothing we can do, and so God did it for us. Wow, what a loving Savior God has given to us that we might have eternal life. So in the light of that, that's where it all begins, right? Trusting the Lord, being born again, that's what it means. When God, all of a sudden, the light bulb comes on. Wow, what a price. It's easy to say, hey, listen, we know what the righteousness of God is. What is that? Well, have you ever told a lie? How many lies does it take to make a liar? Just one, right? Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? It's called stealing. And if you've taken something that didn't belong to you, that makes us a thief, right? And then if we look at what the Lord said about lusting and doing different things like that, committing murder in our hearts already, how do we stand before the Lord now? Well, now I'm not such a good person. Now I need a Savior, amen? Now I'm lost and undone. See, God's got to get us lost before he can save us. Because the world thinks, you know what, I didn't grow up in church. I'm not that bad a person. I haven't killed anybody. That was my standard. If I didn't kill, I haven't taken any, as a kid, maybe I took something that I wanted. One time, I was in Grand Union. That was an old grocery store in North Miami Beach, Florida. And I wanted this little Hot Wheels car. And it was right at the checkout line. And I took it. And we were walking out. And I showed my mom the car when we got in the car. And she said, where did you get that? She knew where I got that. She made me march right in back into that store and tell the manager what I had done and give it back. And she went with me. And I did not feel so hot about that. But anyway, see, we think, oh, that's just little things. But God says, oh, no, you're guilty. You're guilty. You're lost. And you have no hope of redeeming yourself, so God gave us his son to give us eternal life. Wow. What a price that was paid. And God brings that all to pass in our hearts and our minds and our understanding where we see, I need you, God. I need you to save me. And you don't have to say anything but put your heart and your trust in what Jesus did. I put my faith or my trust in him to give me his righteousness. I don't have any. And God says, I'll save you. And he will let you know that your sins have been forgiven. Will he not? He'll give you that comfort, that confidence. And that's called the second birth. The lost world doesn't understand that. Listen, when I got saved, I had to tell all my friends. What do you think they thought of that? Oh, boy. George has gotten religion. Oh, no, I've gotten saved. Amen. God found me. I was lost and God found me. Man, listen, that's an experience you will never forget. And then the faith that God gives us is based from faith to faith or experience to experience. So that's the gospel in a nutshell that God wants the world to know through your life and mine. So tonight, as we look at our text, we want to consider three thoughts of what God really is saying to believers in Jesus Christ concerning not being separated from the love of Christ. Because listen, was it the love of Christ that saved us? Absolutely. Guess what it will be to save the lost world? The love of Christ. And how will that happen? Well, guess what? Guess the vessel that he has chosen. There's a precious vessel that God has chosen, and you and I look at that precious vessel when we fix up the mess in the morning. Amen? And when we look in the mirror in the morning and try to straighten things out, God says, you are precious in my sight. Isn't that amazing? What a great God God has given to us through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's consider three thoughts tonight. We want to look at the deliverance through suffering. See, that we don't understand that, right? Not naturally. We have deliverance through suffering. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And we want to consider the time frame. God, listen, the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. And we'll take a look at that here in just a moment. And then God's vehicle, what God uses to get us where he wants us to go. So back up with me to verse 18. And let's, again, keep in mind the time frame that we're talking about, because he does talk about things that are in the present. He does talk about things that are in the future, and we don't want to confuse those. We want to follow that. So verse 18, notice what it says here in chapter 8, verse 18. He says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time," so what's the time frame? Right now, this present time on this side of eternity, "are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed," where? Isn't that amazing? God is saying, "I'm going to show you something you have never seen before." You have seen eternal life. You have received eternal life. But I'm going to show you something when you stand before me that I have placed in you. Wow. Wow, we've got something to look forward to that God says, you're not even going to be able to compare. It has not even entered into your mind what I've got in store for you. Wow, what a God we have. So, notice he says, again, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time," are not, sufferings, plural, "are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." So we have present sufferings now, but we have something that God's going to reveal to us in the future when we stand before him. "For the creature," verse 20, "was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." So God says, "I've got a freedom for you to walk in. I've got something for you to experience, even on this side of eternity." Listen, God, when God saved us, he indwelt us with the Holy Spirit to change us to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our example. That's what we want to follow. So, Lord, show me how to walk. Now, if you've been saved for any length of time, you've discovered this in a very short while. We can't do it. Amen? It doesn't take. Now, here's something else you discovered. You want to do it. Why? Because God loved us. But you can't do it. Not in the strength. But just as God, just like we couldn't redeem ourselves and God had to do it, neither can we also walk upright without the Lord. Listen, that brings glory to the Lord everywhere we go. Every day we live, God helps us and enables us and empowers us, and we praise the Lord. You remember when we looked at the story of Jacob today, when God was bringing him back to Bethel, the Lord made all those provisions. Jacob was not a very faithful individual, but it was God leading Jacob to become Israel, his plan, amen. So likewise, it is God's plan to bring us to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important because the world needs to see the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So as we consider this, we find also in verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." So that's future tense. We're talking about the body one day is going to be redeemed. No more sickness, no more death, no more hurts, no more aches, right? We won't know what to do with ourselves, amen? We'll be praising the Lord, say, "Man, this is unbelievable. I wake up, in fact, I don't even go to sleep, amen? I'm up all the time, and we don't get tired, we don't wear out, and boy, oh boy, my mind can't even comprehend that." And yet, how do we know that's true? Because of redemption, because of salvation, we understand that all these things are true. Now, the world doesn't understand that. See, because these things are given to us by the Spirit of God that opens up our eyes. Remember what the song says? "I was blind, but now I see." I was blind, and then I saw. By the way, for the record, none of my friends trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. They listened to me, but all they thought was, "Oh, he's become one of those Christians now." Oh, boy, he's right. Oh, boy. All they knew is, I didn't want to do the things I used to do. Amen? God had given me something that I never could have dreamed or imagined in my whole life that took me far beyond this old world, amen? The things that are wearing down and they're wearing out. Now, God has a lot of good things in this world for us to enjoy. A relationship with him, a relationship with his people, a good relationship with our families. But the best really for the believer is yet to come, is it not? And so he says, with that light or thought in mind, he says this in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" So in other words, he says, it's not here yet. We're going to have complete redemption when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. The new body, the new mind, sin will be completely obliterated. And in verse 25 here, he says this, "But if we hope for that we see not, why do we with patience wait for it?" Well, because we trust the Lord and it's not yet been fulfilled in our lives, so we have a hope. And by the way, it's not like I hope so. It's a hope that God's going to be there for us. Amen. Not like the world that doesn't know the Lord. All right. So this is the deliverance through suffering. And so keep this thought in mind. He's saying you're going to go through some things in this world. The Lord doesn't make any bones about it. These sometimes you hear some people preach, "Oh, that if you're a Christian, everything goes your way." I don't think they read the Bible, amen? They certainly don't know the Apostle Paul, who was shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, all these different kinds of things, persecuted, all different kinds of things. Peter, and if you know anything about the history of the apostles, they all died a martyr's death except for John the Revelator. He's the only one that we don't know about, right? But they tried to boil him in oil. And they couldn't do it. And I don't, that was God's intervention. So notice that the Spirit helps our infirmities or our frailties. And he's talking about the present tense. So look at verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." He's saying right now, because we have infirmities, don't we? "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Isn't that good? Listen, we have the privilege of going before the Lord, and we don't even know what to pray for. We think, well, we have some needs that we know that we want answered, but then we can come to him and say, "Lord, I don't even know what to ask you, but here's one thing I know, I want to honor you." Isn't that a good prayer request? "Lord, I want you to use me and show me how to walk in your love." Because that's what draws the world. Amen? The love. Listen, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. Is that true? John chapter 3. We were born condemned, right? We were born. I did not have to teach one of my little kids a two-letter word. No. I didn't. Come up, no. What? Right? I had to teach them that you don't say no to mom and you don't say no to dad. Right? And then another word I had to help them with is mine. Right? Mine. Now, where in the world did they, like that, they learn it, right? That's the fallen nature. That is the sinful nature. It is natural, right? It is natural. That's the nature of things, right? But the natural realm is the fallen nature. So we need the supernatural, the new spirit that God indwells us with. You know. I think I've mentioned this to you. I never listen. It's a vivid picture in my mind. Back in like the mid 70s, this fellow that came, would visit our neighborhood, was friends, and we were friends with him. He lived probably maybe about a couple miles away from where I lived in the neighborhood that I grew up in. His name was Bert, and his family was from Romania. They made cabinets, different things of that nature, and they had like their barn in the back. They did some work there, but it was about an acre lot, and it had a fence. It had like an 8-foot fence. They had a Rottweiler. You'd have to see it. Back then, they paid $1,500 for it. This Rottweiler was playing, you'd have to say, I've never seen a Rottweiler as big as this dog. And he was in the backyard, and Bert said, come on in the backyard, it'll be all right. I'm like, I don't know about this, right? That's fine. So the dog's name, I didn't know the dog's name. The dog's name was Rocky, all right? I already don't like that. But anyway, he's over there, and I'm coming, and he just stops what he's doing. He's just watching me. And he says, "Rocky," and his ears perked up. He says, "Watch him." He ran at me. His muzzle was right in my stomach, like in nothing flat, and he was growling. And I said, you need to get your dog. I thought if he bit me, half of me is going to be gone. And anyway, he gave another command and the dog went away. And he began to tell me, you know, because of what the equipment and stuff that we have here, we got this watchdog. I said, well, you can keep your watchdog. I don't want him anywhere around me. But anyway, what if Bert said, Rocky, watch him. And he went, meow. That's just not right, right? I'd say, Bert, something's wrong with your dog, right? Why? Because that is not the nature of a Rottweiler. What he did was his nature. It comes naturally. So there's this battle between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? So many times God is teaching us that because we need to understand the battle. And here's the wonderful truth. God is not wanting us to fight that battle by ourselves or in our own strength. He will do it for us. He will take us through these difficult situations so that when we go through them, we have the love of God, and the world sees that, and they see Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, in us that will draw them to Him. So the world says, you know, I hear a lot of people say certain things about Christians, but I see something different in you. And I can't manufacture that. We can't manufacture that. But God wants to, because He wants to draw. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, didn't He say that? I will draw all men unto myself. So whose work is it? God. It's God's work. And where's that work? In us. Isn't God, with salvation, whose work was that? That was God's work. And where did that work take place? In us. Amen? So God is working in the life of the believer to bring these things to pass. So notice again, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, plural. Do you have infirmities? Do you fight with things? Do you wrestle with things? Guess who's going to help us with those things? Yeah, and in fact, he says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. But here's the problem. If we're not looking to the one that can help us, if we're looking in the wrong direction, we're going to miss the boat. Amen? Okay. We need to be looking. We need to, I tell you, this was a bad thing. Not a terrible thing. But anyway, I was in Fort Lauderdale Airport, and I was flying back home here after visiting with my mom. And anyway, I came like a couple hours early, and there was a flight that was boarding. And anyway, I didn't know this, but maybe a little information for you. The doors closed, you know, where you walk down the chute to go to the plane. And this lady perked up and came over. She said, that's my flight. And you know what that kind lady said that was guarding the door there? Oh, let me open that up for you. Oh, no, that's not what she said. She said, listen, it is American Airlines policy, and I work for the airport. I can't open that door once it's closed. I did not know that. She said, but the plane is right there. Isn't that amazing? And so she did not have her eyes on what she needed to gain entrance on, and the door was closed. Amen? If we're looking to the wrong things, what would have been worse if she was at another gate trying to get on her plane? And likewise also, if we're not looking to the Lord and Him alone, the doors won't get open. We cannot, listen, obey the Lord without Him. And by the way, when we call upon the Lord to fulfill His will and that we might walk in His Spirit, He's glorified by that, and we can praise Him because we know that we're able to do things. He will show us that we can do things that we cannot do in our own strength. So notice this again. Listen to this. And I want you to see how serious God is about this. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, plural, whatever they are, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Listen, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God is serious. When we come to Him, listen, God is serious about helping us. Did you see that? The Spirit is serious about working in our lives. Verse 27, and He that searcheth the hearts, which is God, knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, what is the mind of the Spirit? Because He maketh intercession for the who? Saints according to the will of God. Isn't that good? May we look to the Lord and not to ourselves. There's a lot of people, I think they're saved, they're born again, they have great intentions, but they're missing the work of the Spirit of God that God has called him to do for us. Isn't that amazing? God wants us to enjoy. So Lord, here's what I would recommend for all of us, that we say to the Lord, Lord, show me how to do that. Show me what that means. You guide me in that path, right? And he will all get us to the same place, and it will be personal, won't it? Yeah, God works with us personally. All right, so let's consider this as we look. This is the Spirit of God helping our infirmities. And so we find here that God wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. So look with me, if you will, here in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, listen to this, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Is that right now? Yeah. That's ultimately will be culminated in heaven, but he is wanting to transform our lives on this side of eternity. And so what we need to do is say, Lord, do that in my life. I want to watch you, and I want to trust you to do that. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Whatever part of unbelief, Lord, help me to see you wanting to do that in my life. And so he's wanting us to be conformed into the image of his Son, and that's right now. And so that's present tense, but now I want you to see also past tense here in verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's past tense. It's already been done. Glorified. I've already done that. Amen? Isn't that amazing? He's already glorified himself. What does that mean? Well, he's not finished working on us, but in the eyes and minds of God, it's already been done. Isn't that good? And so that's his purpose, that's his plan for every child of God. But we've got to be, listen, if we got our hands filled with all these things that we want to do, what room do we have to receive what God wants to do? We don't have any room. So we've got to lay some things down to look to him to say, Lord, fill me. Amen? I want to come to you empty-handed so that you can fill me and guide me. But if, boy, oh boy, if we got our life already planned out and filled up, then we're not going to get where God wants us to have. Are you still a child of God? Well, sure, that doesn't change. But we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls, because they're eternal, is wise. And so God wants us to be wise, just as he was benevolent to us to lead us to him by a human agent, probably. Some people are led to the Lord by the word of God. There was a human agent involved that gave of himself to let me understand my need for salvation. Maybe there wasn't yours also, but God, that's the way God intended it, that we would tell the world. So notice again here, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? He's laid out some things, hadn't he? He's saying, listen, I want you to know about the help of the Holy Spirit that helps our infirmities. He wants us to know that he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. He wants to use us for his glory. We're always held in his hands. And so he says, what shall we, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? Well, he says this, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's just as simple as that. God is for us. Don't be shy. Talk to the Lord. You have been, with boldness, you have been given entrance by the blood of the Lamb. And so, he says, who can be against us? So, verse 32, we consider this also. Notice what he says here. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all believers, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. Isn't that good? All things. Verse 32. All things. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now listen. Anybody who's a believer knows we are not perfect. Amen. We're not perfect. But God wants to glorify himself by his love through us into a lost and dying world. He doesn't want us to do that by our power, but by his. Now here's the thing. You know, more important than anything else is us pursuing the Lord God in our lives and not be concerned about, you know, what we should do or can't do or shouldn't do or all those things or what people think. The more important thing is that we seek God personally, see? And because here's the thing. We could put on a facade, right? We can put up a front. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. Who are we really, see? And what we are when we're alone, that alone is what we are. Really, that's really what we are. And if you don't like what you see, bring it to Jesus. Because he'll change it. He'll change it. So don't be preoccupied with what you and we can and cannot do. Bring it to the Lord. And expect him, because he's promised to change it. Is God a liar? No, he's not, right? He fulfills all of his promises. And so, Lord, I want you to do this work in my life. I want to hear, how about you? I know you do. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we see the Lord face to face. I know you want to hear that, because you love the Lord. All right, last thought, as we consider our last thought here. What is God's vehicle here to get us to this place? He says this in verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, so that means there's tribulation in life, isn't there? Or distress, that means there's distress in life. Or persecution, have believers ever been persecuted? Yes. Or famine, have believers ever suffered famine? Or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Have believers ever faced any of those things? Yes, they have faced those things. But you know what? God says none of those things will separate us from him. He didn't say we wouldn't go through those things, but he did say he would be there with us. And we don't have to understand how, but God says, see, when we're completely committed to him, we you know what? We are waiting to see the Lord. Our the best destination we have is the presence of God. Isn't that on the horizon? So listen, it takes us. Now, I'm not saying, you know, every believer ought to ask God to persecute us. Believe me, I'm not asking for that, okay? I'm not asking for that. But we ought to be in the place that if God guides us into that for his glory, we would lay down our lives. And I want you to know this up front. I cannot lay down my life. I don't think any human, saved child of God can lay down their lives without the working of the Holy Spirit. I don't trust myself, but I do trust Jesus. Amen? And so, Lord, I need you that I would be faithful. Don't you? Listen, if somebody came in here tonight and had, by the way, this is a true story. I can't remember what country this happened in, but they came in with guns and said, if you're not a believer, and I don't know why they did this, it was a crazy thing, you can leave. And it cleared out the building except for a few. And these were young rebels, and I don't know what, I can't remember the country now, but anyway, long story short, they said, you know what, we really are believers, we wanted to worship with God's people. Right. Isn't that something? I don't understand, I don't remember the story behind why they did that. They were fighting some kind of a corrupt government, but they were freedom fighters, and I don't exactly remember how the whole thing, but boy, what an embarrassment. And by the way, not just an embarrassment, but a revelation that there were people that were willing to stay and die. And how could they do that? Not by their strength, but they had a love for Jesus. Amen. How committed is our love for the Lord? Right? Would we willingly lay down our life as our Savior laid down his for ours? Not just... Here's the real thought. God doesn't want us to die for him. He might one day, but he does want us to live for him. Amen. So that's an easier thing to do. Aren't you glad God gave you, live for me, seek me. God gave us the easy one, right? But Lord, we need you in the easy ones because we can't do them either. And if we're walking with the Lord in the easy ones, he'll be there for us in the difficult times. Is that the truth? The Lord will be there for us, and you've probably sensed that at certain degrees at certain times in your life. And God wants us to have that assurance. So why are we more than conquerors through him that loved us? And I want to remind you something about Paul and Peter. Were they conquerors for the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you say they were conquerors? And let me ask you another question. Were they perfect? Did they make mistakes? Absolutely. But when they were in tune with the Lord, did they do good things for God? In fact, did they do great things for God? Same for you and I. We have the same salvation. Not the same position, but the same salvation. Let's hurry along here. Again, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famines or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, listen, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So let's not be surprised. Nay, in all these things, did you see that? In all these things, what things? Being killed, accounted for sheep for the slaughter, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and all these things, the Lord says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Isn't that good? God says we can be faithful in all these things. How? Through him that loved us. He's the vehicle. You got to go through him. You can't go around him. Can't do it yourself. We can't. We know that. We know that. We can't. Lord, I need you. Amen. I got to go through you. I know that. And your word guides me and directs me. Verse 38 and 39, and we're done here. Ready? For I am persuaded, all these things that we can go through him with, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, whatever they might be, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. I think he covered all the bases, don't you? All the dimensions, all the situations. Listen, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's an encouraging word for the year 2025. We are more than conquerors, not for the things that we want, but for the glory of God, by the grace of God in our lives. Amen? That he has given to us the Holy Spirit. So tonight, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Amen? And so with that, what do we owe the Lord? We owe the Lord everything, don't we? And here's the best part. Ready? God says, choose you this day whom you will serve. With all of that, think about that. All that he's given to us, he doesn't demand it. He says, you choose. God does not crack a whip to make anybody serve him. He wants us to see the love of God. And we would say, where else can we go? To whom shall we go? Lord, you have the words of life. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace that you've given to us in salvation. And Lord, that you give to us every day simply for the asking, Lord. May you do a work in our hearts and minds that would draw our hearts close to you. Lord, that we might desire to follow you faithfully and to realize that there's no greater joy and no greater fulfillment of life than to finding and seeking you, Lord, to fulfill your will that you've created us for on this side of eternity, and yet that we might see all the things that you have in store for us in the world to come. Bless in the invitation, Lord. May you just do a work in our hearts and minds, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.